Everything has a starting point. Your marriage had a starting point. Your parenting had a starting point. Your career had a starting point. Your retirement had a starting point. Everything has a starting point. I'm really glad that your morning had a starting point, and you made it here this morning. Man, I cheer you on for being in this place, all right? I had a starting point yesterday morning, another starting point in my life, and it was an excruciating one. So I climbed competitively the One America building downtown with the bop to the top, and there's nothing more intense than being at the starting point, where you're at the starting line at the bottom of a stairwell. You're standing in a stairwell, and it's a 36 floors that you are going to be running up, and there is this timer that's going off. It's a beeper. Starts at about 5 seconds. Beep, beep, beep. And all you know is, oh no, here we go. That was yesterday morning. That's my most recent starting point. But you know what? Even our faith has a starting point. Whatever place it is, wherever you're at in your faith. Now you made it today. So it tells me that you've got a certain level of faith that at least desires to come and worship God. And thank you for that. And I'm glad you're in this context. But no matter where your faith is at, there is always a starting point. Now, for most of us, that starting point happened somewhere in our childhood. Okay, our starting point, our framework for faith included things like, here's what it included. It included things like God is good and God is great, and God rewards good and God punishes evil, and God answers prayer. That's where most of our starting point was when we were in our childhood, but then something happens. We get older, we experience life, and for many of us, our childhood faith doesn't do well under the rigors and the pressures of adult life. And those foundations that meant so much back then, they begin to crumble. Yeah, God is good and God is great, but he doesn't seem so good right now. I thought he was supposed to reward good and punish evil, but there's a lot of evil that goes unpunished, and there's a lot of good that seems to be punished. And I was taught that he answers prayer, but he didn't answer my prayer. So I'm not sure what to do with that. And sometimes our childhood faith, which started off so fresh, the realities and the pressures of life chip away at it. Sometimes chips away at it to the point that it no longer exists. In fact, maybe there are a few of you here today who are hoping that I'll say something that could reignite the faith that you left a long, long time ago. Not because you wanted to, but because it just didn't seem relevant in the world in which we live. So we've decided around here, okay? We've decided around here because that phenomena, it impacts most of us to some extent and has impacted many of our kids. And as it seems, is impacting just about everybody who's living in our culture. We've decided sometimes adults need a brand new starting point for faith. Sometimes we as adults need a brand new starting point for faith. So what we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to hit the restart button all together. And we're going to ask the question, if we didn't know anything, where would we start? if we had never read our Bible, if we'd never gone to church, where would we start? Where would we start if we were starting all over as adults as it relates to the Christian faith? And my hope is that for many of us, where there's been a growing gap, and it happens to everyone, the realities of life, the difficult circumstances of our life, the struggles, the things that seem to counter the things that we always believed as a child, when those things are challenged, you know when that gap is growing, where you want to reconcile the real world with your faith, I'm hoping that you'll find that they're easily reconcilable. But we're going to have to approach this a bit different than perhaps you approached it as a child, or a bit differently than how we've always tried to share the Christian faith with others. See, this message is one that's multifaceted. This series, multifaceted. Hoping that those who have strong faith, we might learn something, we might be challenged by something, we might hear something new. For those who are just looking for something to help them maintain their faith, we're hoping you find that in the starting point. We're hoping that if you are restarting your faith, you're here and you just want to restart your faith, I'm hoping to be able to help you do that. And for those who are just curious, who might find themselves in this room on these next few Sunday mornings, for those outside these walls who might be a bit curious, or who might even give us an ear, that maybe something that we say in this Starting Point series will make a huge difference and will actually be a starting point for their faith. Now, here's part of today's struggle, okay? If you grew up in a Christian tradition like I did, you heard the truth that this was the Word of God, okay? And don't mistake anything that I say today. I still believe that. I believe this is the precious Word of God given to us, and we are going to be a church that continues to preach it and teach it and hopefully live it in our lives. Anything else you hear me to say today, know that I still believe that this is God's Word. And as a child, we all said, well, of course, that's easy to believe. But unfortunately, because we never matured in our understanding of faith, it was a house of cards. All someone had to do, or all the prevalent culture had to do, or all that a difficult circumstance in my life had to do, was come along and pull away a couple of the pieces, and suddenly the whole thing comes crashing down. You went off to college, and you discovered that even though the Bible was sacred, all of your influences said it wasn't scientific. And even though it was something to be appreciated, it wasn't something you needed to appropriate. And even though it contained some stories that were inspirational, they weren't necessarily factual. And then you experienced the realities of life. And there began to be more and more distance between what you experienced and what you believed as a child. Even if you grew up in a home where this book, the Bible, was highly revered, you then went into an environment that didn't respect it. And suddenly your childhood faith, that starting point that seemed so relevant way back then, suddenly it all went away. So, here's what I'm going to try to not do in this Starting Point series. Here's what I'm going to try not to do in this Starting Point series. I'm going to try not to say The Bible says, because in our current culture and that which you live in every day, the secular culture you live in every day, in our current culture, saying the Bible says means nothing. That's just me realizing that that's the truth. That everything in your culture that you live in, everything around, and it affects you. It affects us. And it certainly affects how other people hear things about faith. The Bible says it means nothing. It's no longer effective to say, the Bible says. Because you're going to go, or your friends are going to go, or your coworkers are going to go, or your kids are going to go. I know the Bible says, and I know what the Bible says, but let me tell you about my job. Let me tell you about my disease. Let me tell you about my addiction. Let me tell you about my kids. Let me tell you about my divorce. Let me tell you about my unanswered prayers. Let me tell you how judgmental and hateful the Bible people have been. If you're going to try to restart my faith by starting with the Bible says, not interested. I know this is challenging today. The Bible says, for most adults and many of your kids and your coworkers, and even some of you, is not an adequate place to start faith. To start faith. It was adequate when you started as a child, and it's still adequate for our children where they're at, but it's no longer effective for most adults. Most people in today's culture don't care about the Bible. There are 130 million books that people can read. At least that's what Google says. 130 million books. There are 70 million audio books. And it breaks my heart, but the Bible has become just one of them. But right when it sounds like I'm fatalistic and I'm giving up on reaching those who are lost and giving up on helping people restart their faith and helping people have what they need to maintain their faith, here's the good news. And here's where we're going to go for the next few minutes today as we begin this series called Starting Point. The Bible says was not intended to be the starting point for the Christian faith. Huh? No, it was not intended to be the starting point for the Christian faith. The New Testament, where we get everything we know about Christianity, about Jesus, all of it. The New Testament, it wasn't put together until 250 years after the events of Jesus' life. For the first 250 years of Christianity, nobody said about Jesus, well, the Bible says, because there was no New Testament. But for the first couple hundred years of Christianity, hundreds of thousands of people became Jesus followers. Hundreds of thousands of secular people, unbelieving people, skeptical people. They became followers. They had their starting point. They became followers of Jesus. And they gathered together with extraordinary faith. We're not talking about a faith that was weak. They gathered in, many losing their lives for what they believed. And yet, for those first 250 years, when the church was rocking with a faith that was so strong, Everybody have an incredible starting point founded on Jesus. The starting point had nothing to do with a Bible, because it didn't exist yet. So the question is, and an important question for us in our culture that now disregards the Bible, is what was their starting point? How did they come to faith in Jesus if there was no Bible that served as the starting point for their faith? So that's the intrigue here as we begin this starting point. Just like people in the first couple of centuries when the church was rocking, they had no Bible. In the same way today, we have a secular culture. We have kids. We have friends. We have even some of us. Life has rocked us. And there's skepticism. And there are struggles with trying to bring together what we had when we were kids and that which was so innocent and so free. And now trying to bring that together and match that up with our life's experience. My hope and prayer is that this might be a starting point or a restarting point, or even a stronger foundation to maintain the faith that you have here today. Today, answering the question of, how did they come to faith then? Where was their starting point? I want to answer that question because I believe for some of us, or even many of us, their starting point will need to be our starting point too. Okay? And our older kids' starting point. And our friends' starting point. That where those people back then started is the best hope for a starting place in our culture and in our lives, as so many of us need a restarting point. Today, we're going to listen in on a conversation between the Apostle Paul and a group of people who knew nothing about Jesus. They had never even read about Jesus. They had never even heard about Jesus. And this conversation took place just a few years after the events of Jesus' life. Now, so that you don't argue that I'm using circular reasoning here, we're going to read a portion of writing from a document that we call the Book of Acts. Now, actually, it wasn't even a book, okay? But we're not reading the Bible. We're reading a journal that was compiled just 30 years after Jesus rose from the grave. We're reading a travel blog. That's actually what it is. We're reading a travel blog that was written by a real man by the name of Luke. He was a doctor, okay? He was a doctor who traveled with this Apostle Paul and who journaled everything that happened as Paul moved around the Mediterranean, helping secular people come to know who Jesus was, all righty? Now, Luke was a real man. It's a real travel blog, and we still have that recording, okay? The Apostle Paul, who he's recording about, remember, it's only 30 years after Jesus has died, right there tight. The Apostle Paul, who he's writing about, was a real person who knew what he knew about Jesus because of the eyewitnesses that he knew and what he experienced before any of this was documented or written down, okay? Luke is writing this travel journey based on what Paul is saying before anything was even written down. Here's what Paul is saying, and here's how Paul was saying, and here's what Paul was doing when he was rubbing shoulders with people who did not believe and had never heard. Here's the starting point. Here's the starting point. Now, if you come from a church background, you know that this guy Paul wasn't always a follower of Jesus, okay? He, previous to this, his name was Saul, and he hated Christians. Okay, he hated Christians before he had his starting point. His first career was to stamp out the Christians, and then he became one. And he didn't become a Christian because he read the Bible. It hadn't been written. He became a Christian. He had his starting point because something happened. Something happened. So we're going to listen in on this conversation, and my goal today is not for you to all of a sudden believe something or believe more strongly in Jesus. My goal for today is to listen to how someone presented the message of Jesus to a group of people who had never heard or read anything about him. Because in this conversation, we get to the very beginning, to the very heart, to the starting point of the Christian faith, and maybe even the starting point of your faith. Or the restarting point of your faith. So, here we go from this travel journal that we now happen to call the Book of Acts, in how we now know it as chapter 17, but remember, it was not there. Here's what he shared as the starting point. While Paul was waiting for a couple of his friends in Athens, he was taken aback by all the idols he saw throughout the city. Now, folks, this is the same Athens, Greece, that you can go to even today, okay? It's also an actual city. He went to the synagogue to reason with the religious folk about this, along with speaking daily in the marketplace to all who happened to be there. He also had a debate with some of the philosophers. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, now make sure you laser focus there. When he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, "What's this babbler trying to say with these strange ideas he's picked up?" Others said, "He seems to be preaching about some foreign gods." Okay, Paul finds a group of people who were willing to engage with him about religion and philosophy, and they call him a babbler. Did you catch that? A babbler. Now, here's why. Because they'd never heard any of this stuff about Jesus. This was brand new. They were starting from the beginning. Remember, there was nothing to read at this point in history. Then they took him to the city council. "Come and tell us about this new teaching," they said. In other words, "Hey, this is new. We want you to start from the beginning and explain it to us. We've never heard any of this before. You are saying some strange things, and we want to know what it's all about." And I'm going to repeat myself again. I know, okay? These guys, here's what they said. "We've never heard this crazy stuff. So would you please start from the beginning," okay? How cool is this? No, really, this is really cool. So here we go. He's explaining to these people a story that they've never read in a Bible. This was their starting point. So Paul standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, grab your Bibles. Oh, come on, that was a joke. Hey, you know he didn't start it that way. Men of Athens, take your Bibles and open it to the book of Acts. Here's what the Bible says. That's not where he went. He said, men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. Now notice, here is Paul. He is wanting to warm up to those who have no faith. He's not here to fight with them. He's there just to reason with them, to help them understand, to help to share, to help a secular people understand the starting point of faith. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. Now, this is interesting, okay? So they've got altars all over their city to all these different gods. But just in case they missed one, okay, you got to catch that. Just in case. But just in case they missed one. See, they actually built an altar to an unknown God. Hey, who is this altar to? We don't know. But if that God shows up, we can say, oh, we were waiting for you. I mean, that's how crazy this is in their minds, okay? We were expecting you. Now, what this said to Paul and what he leverages off this, and this is true of all religions, there's uncertainty. There's uncertainty. And make sure you catch that, because that's where some of us are today. And that's where our kids are today, our older adult kids are today. And that's where our culture is at today. That in their minds, they know. They know. There's no way. But we're not sure. Just in case. So the culture around us is ready for this conversation, because it's just like all religion. There's uncertainty. Here's what I know, but there's a lot I don't know. Here's what I'm sure of because of my experiences and my circumstances and what I've learned and what my professors have told me, but there's a lot I'm not sure of. And so they had this altar to an unknown God. Now many of us laugh. It makes me laugh. I mean, so just in case that God shows up, we can tell him, hey, we were waiting for you. You know what I mean? Just seems crazy. Just in case. Just in case. Okay, so just some very practical ways that shows in our culture, in our church, in our lives. That's why many people only go to church. They show up on Christmas and Easter, just in case. That's why some of you wear a piece of jewelry, and when something bad happens, you need to touch it, just in case. That's why some of us will go back and grab a scripture that we learned when maybe a scripture that we learned when we were a kid. We grab it. We don't know what it means, and we can't make it work, and it doesn't fit our life and our service. But just in case, some of us we pray to the big guy upstairs, just in case. See, it's about the just in case. The just in case, everybody's still seeking. Everybody's still wondering. Even the philosophers, even the ones who say they know it all, even the culture we're living in, there's uncertainty. So Paul says, hey, you're very religious. You want to know what's out there. You sense there's something out there bigger than you. This God whom you worship without knowing who he is the one I'm telling you about. This God whom you worship without knowing who he is the one I'm telling you about. And he goes on then, and he does that. And Paul speaks to them about this God that most of us in this room know who he is. And he shares this, and he shares that, and he shares this, and he shares that, and it's all very powerful, and it's all very profound. Matter of fact, when he's sharing with them, Paul is brilliant. He doesn't say the Bible says, but what does he do? When he's talking to these philosophers, he goes back to their own poets. He goes back and quotes their own philosophers. He goes back because everybody has a sense of God. Everybody. So he's going through and he's talking about God. And then Paul says to them in verse 31, for God has set a day for judging the world with true justice by the man he has appointed. And then, folks, make sure you catch, he now shares the starting point. He shares the starting point. And God proved to everyone who this man was. Now, stop right there. God proved to everyone who this man was. Proved it? He proved about Jesus? He proved something? Yes, he's given proof. Now, Paul, we've got to stop you right there. We're talking about religion. There's no proof in a religion. I mean, look, to an unknown God. You know, they're pointing at the unknown. We don't know. I mean, we try to have faith in something. We try to do the right things. But you're saying that somehow this new thing that you're telling us about, there's proof? Yes, there's proof. Well, Paul, tell us what God has done so that we can have that certainty. God proved to everyone who this man was by raising him from the dead. And that's the starting point. God proved to everyone who this man was by raising him from the dead. God proved to everyone who this man was by raising him from the dead. And that's when they went back on the legs of their chair. By raising him from the dead? See, our problem is, when we read that, it's a story we've heard over and 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 over. And I'm glad we have, because it's actually the starting point. It's the restarting point. It's the maintaining point. It is the point that we all have to go back to. When the world is rocking us and whatever circumstances are going on, whenever there is a challenge, God proved to everyone who this man was by raising him from the dead. Come on, now, okay, Paul would say, I didn't read about this. No one has written about it yet. No, I came from the place where it happened. And I've had conversations. This is a real dude. He has a real story here. I came from there. I've had conversations with the eyewitnesses. And I'm here in Athens absolutely convinced that God has done something on this planet. God raised a man from the dead to give us proof that he is who he is and claims to be. Hallelujah. And then we come to verse number 32. When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt. Well, of course they did. Because when people died, They always stayed what? Dead. Dead. There may be a lot of things that we don't know, but one thing we do know, nobody rises from the dead. Get him out of here. But others said, we want to hear more about this later. But others said, we want to hear about this later. See, most of the people who heard went, gotta go. If that's the starting point, we ain't starting. If that's what we have to believe to follow this new teaching, we'll just go back to unknowing. But a few people said, okay, you're telling me just a few years ago? Right over there, Judea, in that place that nobody from here wants to visit? You're telling me you know people? You've talked to people, not just a person. You know people who witnessed his resurrection? And Paul would say, yes. And for the first few years, I didn't believe it either. And for the first few years, I did everything to stamp out this cult. And then one day, I met this risen Jesus. And so I'm here to tell you that God has done something in our generation as proof that he loves us and he can be known. The starting point for the Christian faith, whether we're told this in childhood or not, is a question. The starting point is a question. The question, this foundation, is the thing that you've got to come to terms with. If you're curious, or you're trying to restart your faith, or if you're trying just to find something that'll help you maintain your faith, there's just one question that's always going to be at the foundation of starting or restarting or maintaining your Christian faith. And the question is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And so when Paul has this one opportunity with someone who doesn't know anything about the story, he gives them the starting point. With people who don't have any idea about a Bible or anything about a church or anything about church people or anything about hope or anything about eternal life or anything, people who have no clue to the way that they get their start, the starting point is a real guy who has a real conversation about something that he knows because he's talked to the eyewitnesses and he has experienced himself, and now it's proof because Jesus raised a man from the dead. And if you have a hard time believing it, which of course some of you do or some of them do, God decided to prove it because he knew we were skeptical, and he raised him from the dead because he is Savior and he is Lord of all. And that's the starting point for the Christian faith. Wow. That is the question. That will always be the question. And regardless of what happened to your Sunday school faith, regardless of what happened to you in your past, regardless of your unanswered prayer, the fact that God doesn't always seem good, that he doesn't always reward good, he doesn't always punish evil, those are fascinating topics. We talk about those things around here. But the issue is, the question is, who is Jesus? Because once you answer that question, as you will discover, as many of us have discovered, many of those other questions begin to answer themselves, and I think the Bible will come to life. So Paul left that day, leaving them with the issue to wrestle with. Who is Jesus? And that's where we're going to leave it today. But the good news is this. The name of the series is Starting Point, okay? So we're just getting started.